Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
Pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga Juju?
Yes, yes. Track 29.
This song, Chattanooga Choo Choo, by Glenn Miller and the Modernaires, is considered a prime example of how the sounds of trains influenced jazz music. Conductor, composer, and author Rob Capello is looking at why trains were such a key part of jazz and how musicians incorporated those sounds into their songs. Capello will be speaking about some of this history, and he'll be performing at the New England Conservatory tomorrow as part of the Celebrity Series of Boston. And he joins us in studio to give us a preview. Welcome.
So glad to be here.
So why are trains so important to jazz?
Well, you know, at first I had absolutely no idea what the answer to that question was. And not only did I have no answer, I had never actually thought about it. You know, but then I came across this incredible book. You know, normally my programs begin with music that I'm interested in, but this one began with a book or an idea. And this book was called Railroads and the African American Experience, written in 2010. And I thought, wow, this seems like an interesting topic. And all of a sudden, I started to realize the enormous influence of railroads on the African American experience. I mean, they literally built the railroads in the pre-Civil War South. I mean, almost all of the employment in the South came through these railroads. And then there's a great line in this book where he talks about how it had massive influence on travel, culture, employment, and also music as well. And all these work songs and spirituals were about trains. And not only that, the train kind of became a metaphor for either going to heaven. Half of the songs, you were going to heaven in the blues songs. Half of them, you were going to hell. And of course, we all know Take the A Train. Right. And the more I started to realize that these trains were part of everything, I started to see there were hundreds of jazz songs. And the more you read about their lives, you realized also those trains literally made the lives of these big swing bands popular, because they would go from town to town by the railroad trains, and most of these musicians would spend most of their lives on the trains having these sounds in their heads. And in the case of Duke Ellington's band, I mean, the only way you could travel safely in the South, since all the housing was segregated, was to have your own train. So literally, when they would go through the South, they would live on the trains, and what's in your consciousness actually becomes part of your music.
Well, let's just go back a little bit to the song we started with.
You still remember that song?
Before we get to Duke Ellington.
You got me started. The book is 500 pages. Don't get me started.
Let's talk about Chattanooga Choo Choo. Walk me through the music a little bit here.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So this issue of how do you turn the train sounds into music, what do I call train onomatopoeia, so to speak. So now, I mean, he starts off with a simple idea. I mean, this doesn't sound much like a train. Not so much.
No.
Now, normally, if you were going to put some chords under it, you'd put some nice simple major chords like this. I mean, that would sound fine. But to make it sound like a train, he has every instrument do it starting on a different note. Here, 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 in this wonderful whole tone kind of sound. So instead of this, he does this. And it starts to sound a little bit like a train. And then the next thing, what does a train do next? Well, it leaves the station and it accelerates. So instead of going 1, 2, 3, 4, it goes double speed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then it goes quadruple speed, which is hard to say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Same time, you've got swooping trombones. Wow, wow, I'm going choo, choo in a highly dissonant way. And then you have trumpets, who normally would play this. But to turn it into jazz and to turn it into a train, you do dissonance. And suddenly the sound of the trains is literally actually becoming jazz music. And if you put it together and you rehear that opening now, you'll hear that slow train, whole tone sound, getting faster and faster, swooping trombones being the train whistle, and then the jazz. Let's just hear that one little segment one more time. Here it is. Double time, trombone, quadruple time, choo, choo, trumpets, now down a scale, now clarity, and we're at our tune.
Right, and the lyrics. Now, tell us a little bit. Okay, so now we've got the lyrics on top of all this to make it perfectly clear.
Absolutely.
In case there was any confusion. So describe that a little bit.
And, you know, the lyrics immediately give you a feeling of what civil rights situation was at the time. I mean, it's amazing how lyrics embed American history within them. You know, pardon me, boy. Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Then they go, yes, yes, track 29. Boy, you can give me a shine. I mean, in just those few lines, you get the whole situation of the South in the 1940s with luxury train travel in which white passengers are served by black Pullman porters and black shoeshine boys, which was almost the only regular employment that you could get at the time. And in just those few lines, you get the world of Plessy versus Ferguson, of separate but equal, mm-hmm. of segregated luxury train travel. And, you know, Plessy versus Ferguson was actually a case about a black person who refused to get off a white train.
So there's an awful lot going on there. But you also mentioned Duke Ellington as an example of how things are done a little bit differently. Explain that a little bit.
Well, you know, as I say, Duke Ellington probably wrote more famous train pieces than anyone. And I really do think it's because he had his own train and he absolutely lived on that train. But in Ellington's case, he takes the language of Glenn Miller and makes it even more dissonant and more abstract. And in one of his most famous pieces that we'll be playing with the fantastic Kyla, Thade Big Band, by the way, one of this fantastic New York big bands. He starts off with this incredibly dissonant, abstract train chord for the piano, like this. And he plays it six times syncopated. Over and over again. I mean, it's a beautiful beginning. At the same time, in between, there's this bizarre double bass going. I mean, this is one of the weirdest ways to begin a piece. I mean, you know, normally you think of a piece beginning with like a nice stable frame with a chord, like it can go home to your mother, something like this. But no, it begins with this incredibly dissonant, abstract twain whistle. And then it gets even worse. He has this great version. How do you make a chugging train? Now, you got to imagine him every night traveling on one of these night trains. And he takes something that, if it were Glenn Miller, might sound nice like this. But he does this wonderful dissonant version. He changes two notes in this chord. This is Glenn Miller, but he first changes it to this. But then he adds one dissonant note that makes it Duke Ellington. And now suddenly it's a steam train. Then the third chord, instead of being this, he changes to this. So this nice little Glenn Miller pattern comes this wonderful Duke Ellington pattern. And suddenly you've got this chugging pattern. Now, what's so amazing, it repeats over and over again 52 measures of the same thing. So you got to imagine this chugging train. On top, he puts these abstract, dissonant steam train sounds. And you get this wonderful combination of a night train ride interrupted by shrieks and train whistle blasts. Let's listen to a little bit of the beginning of this. And you'll hear layer after layer. You'll hear a simple trumpet going, but with some quick little grace notes that feel like blues. Not this, but over and over, low moaning trains. All on top of this repeated pattern, what we call an ostinato. Let's hear a little of that. Listen to that weird double bass.
Yeah.
Here we go. Night train ride, chugging train, trumpets. Low train whistles. This is an abstract train ride. The wailing saxophone on top. Train whistle plus blues.
I just love hearing you explain this.
Oh, it's amazing music.
It really is.
You got to come on tomorrow night. You'll get all 90 minutes of it.
It is incredible. I mean, I'm learning so much here. I'm wondering if we could go out on something fun, and you could tell us a little bit about this song from Count Basie.
Yeah, Count Basie. This is a great one because you've been hearing all these dissonant sounds. We should have something fun to listen to. Mm-hmm. Count Basie wrote one of the famous train songs called The Super Chief, which is actually the flagship train of the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railway. And here, unlike one of these slow ones, it's a fast express train streaking to Los Angeles, California. Listen to the train whistle, half-valve trumpets.
Very nice. Very nice. That's Count Basie's super chief.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, Rob Capello, composer, conductor, and author. It's really been great fun. Thanks so much for this fascinating history about jazz and trains. Listeners, if you want to hear Rob's more expansive look at how trains influence jazz, he'll be speaking and performing at the New England Conservatory tomorrow night as part of the Celebrity Series of Boston. There's more information on our website, radioboston.org. Thanks very much for being with us.
A pleasure.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.